So let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I give you this day. I give you this service. It's yours. I ask you to speak through me and get me out of the way and just say what you want to say and give the people ears to hear what you're saying, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So hopefully everyone here had a good Christmas, and hopefully you weren't fighting a cold like I have been the last couple days, but it's that time of the year, so that's what we got to deal with. You know, like Mike was saying there a minute ago, Clyde has really improved quite a bit. It's been great to see. You know, there was times when we would go visit him, and I would go and I would, you know, talk to him, and I would. And any of you that went to see him, I'm sure you saw the same thing. You would talk to him, and it just wasn't him. You know, you've known him however many years you've known him, and it's like, who is this guy I'm talking to? This is not Clyde, and he had no control over that. And then there was times when we would go there and I'd walk down the hall into his room and he'd be like, "Hey man, what's going on?" And I'd say, "Hey, how are you?" And it was like the father-in-law I've had for 30 something years, you know. And then the next time you'd see him, it'd be back the other way again. And it's just, you know, that seesaw back and forth of him getting a little better and then not being better and stuff. But God has done a work on him, and we're thankful for that. And you know, he's moving around and stuff better, a lot better, and he definitely is thinking a lot more clearly and communicating a lot better with everybody, and his sense of humor's there, and all that. So, you know, we had a good Christmas, but it was a different Christmas than normal, and it was really partially because him and Deb weren't there. You know, we've been getting together with my sister and her kids and mom and dad and Deb and Clyde and us for years. And this year, Clyde just wasn't up to knowing that he could be out of the house and be okay, you know? So so they weren't there and we missed them. But Christmas Day, me and Joe went up there and saw him for a little bit on Christmas night. So it was a different Christmas, but it was still a good Christmas. Okay, so this morning, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about something that I hardly have any interest in, and that's the news. Now, if you're a news hound, more power to you. That's just not me. I don't enjoy the news that much. It's just not what I gravitate towards. If it's something that you watch a lot, read a lot, that's okay, as long as you are able to handle it and not let it depress you too much. But it's not something that I really spend a lot of time on. I'm just being honest. I know you can't stick your head in the sand and not know what's going on in the world, but also I think your head can be out of the sand a little too much sometimes with all that stuff. So I do hear some news on the radio some, and if I see any news the most, it's probably sports news, which is not really news, it's just kind of what's going on with sports. So when TV news when I was a kid was a whole lot different than it is now. As a kid growing up, we watched George Clooney's dad, Nick, on the news. He was the anchor of the Channel 12 news, Nick Clooney. And occasionally I can remember sitting at our kitchen table, which was kind of I don't remember how many sides it had. Do you remember that our old kitchen table had six sides? That one with the ugly gold chairs we had? It had wrought iron. At the time, I'm sure it was nice, but it was wrought iron chairs with ugly gold Naugahyde. Yeah, it was ugly. That was our kitchen table and chairs. And I can remember sitting in there, and I can remember seeing Al Shadakati on the news, who was on Channel 9, which we rarely ever watched for some reason, but Al Shadakati was on Channel 9. And those are just things that stick in my head. And as a kid, I had no interest in what they were talking about. None. And then, of course, I can remember Walter Cronkite. He was on the CBS News, the evening news. And, you know, for the kids that are my kids and Sam and Kaya's kids, it's kind of hard sometimes to explain the difference in the world now and the difference in the world then. Like, there are so many people now who are famous, massively famous and known, and they haven't really done a whole lot. They just, whatever, they are influencers or whatever they want to call them, but actually doing something much, they really haven't done a whole lot, but that doesn't mean people don't know them and they don't have massive followings of people. Well, the world was a totally different place when I was a kid. And Walter Cronkite was known as the most trusted man in America. And the reason for that is that he was a reporter for some very important things in history, and he was there, and he was reporting on them. He reported on the Germans bombing London. He was there. He reported on the Allies landing on the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. He reported on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He reported on the Apollo 11 moon landing, the Vietnam War, the Watergate scandal, and the resignation of Richard Nixon. And I actually read something that said that he actually said during a newscast talking about the Vietnam War at one point that he didn't see how it was going to end in anything other than a ceasefire or a truce of some kind. And it said that Lyndon Johnson said he was not going to run for re-election because he had just lost middle America, because Walter Cronkite had just said this, and that so many people would agree with what he said or take what he said as being real or the truth. And he ended each broadcast with a sign-off line. Does anybody remember what it was? No? It was, "And that's the way it is." That was the last thing he said at the end of his newscast. CNN gave birth to the 24-hour news channel on June the 1st, 1980 at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's when they came on the air. And now, 45 years later, we find ourselves right here where we are, with more news than we could ever want or need sometimes. Now, Merriam-Webster's dictionary had three definitions for the word news. It said, a report of recent events. It said, previously unknown information. And it said something having a specified influence or effect. And as I thought about that last one, I thought to myself, today's news seems to always be delivered with a specific influence or for a purposed effect. Now, the Oxford Dictionary says news is expected to be referential an informational communication reported accurately and without bias. I don't know that that happens very often. I don't care which side of the political aisle you sit on. I don't think that happens very often. Doesn't seem to. So the five elements of news are the who, what, when, where, and why of what's going on. Now, I read a list of it was a long list, but I'm only going to tell you about eight of them. There was eight TV news stories Which TV news is different than written news because once there was pictures to go along with what was going on, that changed the game, kind of. But in a list of TV news stories that people remember, they ranked them like this. Number one, the JFK assassination. Number two, the moon landing. Number three, September the 11th attacks. Number four, Richard Nixon's resignation. Number five, the Gulf War. Number six, the O.J. Simpson trial. Number seven, the Challenger explosion. And number eight, the rescue of baby Jessica from the well. Now, six out of those eight stories right there are negative. Now, for some reason, we tend to remember the tragic, the shocking, and the unfulfilled moments in life a lot of times more than we do the triumphant, miraculous, and fulfilling moments in life. And I wonder why that is. I'm not a psychologist. I don't have a degree. I don't know the answer to that question. But that just tends to be kind of how we are. Now, what I do know is that these hard, challenging moments in our life are where the growth and maturing take root. It seems like another day in the struggle when it's going on. But good news, it's very fertile soil for growth to come out of. And that brings us to what I felt led to talk to you about today, and that's good news. You know, over the years, God spoke to me quite a few times through songs. And for a while, that really hasn't happened a whole lot. I mean, songs still touch me and reach me, you know, in ways. But I read you that song a week or so ago about the A Manger Throne, song about Jesus' birth. And I heard another song within a song or two of hearing that song, and that song spoke to me also. And it was a Christmas song, so I'm not going to beat you up with Christmas today. I know Christmas is now past, but it really spoke to me, and that song was called Good News, and it was by a group called Unspoken. So I'm going to read you the words to this song, and the song had a lot of horns in it, and I love horns. Made me think of you, Frankie, and your saxophone. But it had a lot of horns in it, and I like horns. But I'm just going to read you the words to this song. It says, O holy night, all of the stars above my head shine brightly. It's Christmas time. Got all the people that I love here beside me. There's something different. The snow is glistening. Like the whole world prayed the same prayer, and God was listening. Lift up your eyes to the sky. I hear the angels singing good news, from the mountains ringing good news. Like every Christmas wish just came true. No matter who you are, it's for you. That kind of good news. Good news, good news, good news, good news. It's good news. Good news, good news, good news, good news. Joy to the world. Everybody got a gift from heaven. Peace on the earth, given way beyond our understanding. There's something happening you're not imagining. A little baby in a manger changes everything. Lift up your eyes to the sky and hear the angels singing good news, from the mountains ringing good news. Like every Christmas wish just came true. No matter who you are, it's for you. Oh, good news. The kind that leaves you in a good mood. That reassurance that you can't lose. No matter who you are, it's for you. That kind of good news. Good news, good news, good news, good news. That's kind of good news. Good news, good news, good news. For God so loved the world he gave his only son the world to save. For God so loved the world he gave his only son the world to save. I hear the angels singing good news from the mountains ringing good news like every Christmas wish just came true. No matter who you are, it's for you. There's nothing better than good news. The kind that leaves you in a good mood, that reassurance that you can't lose. No matter who you are, it's for you. It's good news. Good news, good news, good news, good news. It's good news. Good news, good news, good news, good news. Yes, it is. There's nothing better than good news. It was written by a man named Chad Mattson, Jonathan Lowry, and Seth Mosley. Now, I listened to this song a few different times over the week. And every time I did, it just lifted me up. Now, good news stories, a lot of times on the news nowadays, they're called human interest stories, is kind of what they are most of the time. And they're stories of perseverance, redemption, and fulfillment. Now, if it's okay, I'm going to give you a few news updates. I'm not going to do it like a newsman. I'm not even going to do it like Joe did when she was a kid. It's amazing, folks. He done it. So, in financial news, inflation is high. The cost of housing is high. Groceries are high. None of us won the $1.8 billion Powerball jackpot. Every retirement investment that you've made is not paying tenfold returns. But the good news is told to us multiple times in God's Word. Deuteronomy 10:4 says, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, and the earth and everything in it." 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And Haggai 2:8, it says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts." And those mines are capitalized. So he's saying, that's mine. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell therein." Psalm 50:10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." You know, the good news is we don't have to worry about money. God is our source, and his supply is endless. Call on him, trust in him, and follow his lead. Now, in military news, the armies of the world continue to pose, posture, and oppress in an attempt to display their strength and dominance. The good news is, we all know there's not an army on earth that can stand against the army of God. In Ephesians 6:10 to 18 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beyond all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, in mental health news, it seems that there is no end in sight to troubles and our feelings of insufficiency. The good news is, Psalm 9:10 says, "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 34:17-18 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Psalm 46:1-2 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains may be moved into the heart of the sea." Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Shelah. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." And John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, in family/church news, there are still plenty of estranged family members that have drifted away. Complacency, rebellion, addictions, immaturity. There are lots of reasons why they have pulled away. The good news is, God still loves them completely. And we are to do the same. Love them and welcome them back. In Luke 15, and I know you've all heard this, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to him, his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, you know, I think all of us to a point can kind of understand a little bit of where the brother who stayed home felt, if we're honest. Kind of can understand that a little bit. But I'm here to tell you that every one of us is that prodigal son in some way, shape, or form. So the good news is we are all welcomed home with open arms. Now, we've mentioned some of the most well-known historical news stories in history, and pretty much they're tragic. D-Day, JFK's assassination, Vietnam, Watergate, September the 11th. But the fact is, the two most important news stories in the history of the world were both good news stories. Good news that changed the life of every person born into this world. In Luke 2, one to 20, it says, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. In other words, hey, I got good news, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they passed this good news on. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now you notice those angels, they didn't proclaim, oh, Caesar Augustus is doing this. Oh, Herod's doing this. No, he was proclaiming the good news. You know, the line in that song that I read you before said it perfectly. A little baby in a manger changes everything. It started with a birth. We know that's not where it ended. And we tend to celebrate the starting of it more than we celebrate the conclusion of it. But in Luke 24, read you this. It's kind of long, but I'm going to read it to you because I feel like I'm supposed to. Luke 24, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, or whatever you call it there, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. This is after his crucifixion and burial. And they found the stone rolled away from the crypt, we'll say. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the crypt, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the grave, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at which was come to pass, at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are those that ye have one to another as we walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have him crucified, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the crypt. And when they found him, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathering together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And then a couple more scriptures, and then I'm done reading to you. In Romans 6, 8 and 11, it says, Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more domination over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now it started with a birth. That's where it had to start. And then it was completed in a resurrection. Those are the two most important events that have happened in the history of man. And they're both good news. Do you hunger for good news? Good news gave us hope and a future. So when it feels like life is trying to bury you in its problems, that's when you must hold out hope for some good news. God loves us so much, and he is working on our behalf. Good news is on the way. And that's the way it is. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I ask you to give us big, huge, Dumbo-sized ears to hear the good news. Hear the good news everywhere that it's coming from. Because, God, you're moving in miraculous ways in every direction that we look. We just have to hear it. We just have to see it. And we definitely need to acknowledge it. So, Lord, I thank you that you're working on our behalf. I thank you that you love us more than we can even comprehend. And, Lord, I just ask you to just lead us and guide us through our days. Give us better understanding of what you want us to do and how you want us to do it and when you want us to do it. We don't need to know why you want us to do it. So, Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here this morning. I thank you for your good news. I thank you for speaking to me through a song and encouraging me to look into the best news that there ever has been. That you sent your son and that he died for our sins so that we would have a future. So Lord, I just thank you. I ask you to keep your hand on everyone here as we go forward through New Year's, Lord. Keep everyone safe. And we just thank you for who and what you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.